If we look at the two arms from a different point of view, we will see them as two surfaces separated by a suitable dielectric. In this case, of course, different fluids must be considered whose conductive capabilities are less important than in the previous case. The situation is very similar to a capacitor, and we can consider the entity of the capacity proportional to the product of the dielectric constant that multiply the surface of the armor divided by the distance between them. If the distance is the same as before, delta, the surface of the armors that we are considering must be carefully evaluated because they are in part merged into the fluid and in part outside in the air. So the capacitor is indeed made up by two devices, let's say, two components whose capacities are for what concerns the part in the air, epsilon zero times A1 divided by delta. For the part merged into the liquid, into the fluid, epsilon zero times epsilon R multiplied A divided by delta, where A1 and A are the surfaces corresponding to the part in the air and the part in the fluid. So, A is the product of the horizontal size of the armor, L, times the 8 of the fluid into which the armors are merged. That is, H is the level that we want to measure. Instead, A1 is the difference between the height of the armors and the level of the fluid that corresponds to the part of the armor that is in the air, time again the horizontal size. Epsilon R, instead, is the dielectric constant that corresponds to the liquid, the fluid into which the armors are merged. The final capacity will be given by the sum of epsilon zero that multiplies L times uppercase H divided by delta plus epsilon zero that multiplies epsilon R minus 1 times the level lowercase h time L divided delta. So we see that apart a constant term, that is the first one in the expression of the capacity is directly proportional to the level that we want to measure. Consider, however, that the measurement that we will make needs to provide a current and to measure the corresponding voltage present at the two wires connected to the armors. Because the impedance that corresponds to the capacitor is 1 divided SC. So if we provide the current and we measure the voltage, we will have a non-linear relationship between the level and the electrical magnitude we acquire. So again, we follow the same approach as before, and we give to such a kind of circuit a suitable current, and we measure the voltage that will depend on how the level of the fluid is high or not. S in the impedance is the frequency at which we perform the measurement. Consider that the previous effect that we have exploited, that is the resistive effect, is still present. And if we would draw an equivalent circuit of such a kind of device, we would see that the resistor is in parallel to the capacitor. So to make to prevail the capacity with respect to resistance, we have to perform measurements at high frequencies, so to increase the contribution of the resistance impedance with respect the capacity 1. And we know that into a parallel circuit the prevalent component is every time the impedance that is lower between the two considered, the two in parallel. The last transducer that we present is very popular in food industry or chemical industry, and it is called acidity transducer or pH meter. We know that it is possible to evaluate the concentration of the ions into a liquid, but we can exploit an instrument that is based on the fact that acid and basic solutions dissociate in water in positive and negative ions. Typically, hydrogen ions, if the substance is acid, or hydroxide ions, if the substance is basic. Water itself undergoes the same phenomenon, but conventionally the water is considered electrically balanced, like it would be in equilibrium, with a concentration of positive ions equal to one hydrogen ion, one H plus ion every 10 million molecules. This is expressed with the number 10 power minus 7. If an acid substance is introduced, the quantity of H ions will increase, while the amount of hydroxide ions will diminish. Vice versa, if a basic substance is added. The so-called pH coefficient, defined as the negative logarithm in base 10 of the concentration of hydrogen ions, corresponds to the measurement of the acidity of a solution. In case the solution is neutral, the pH index is 7. If it is basic or mainly basic, it tends to 14. If it is close to be acid or complete acid, will be 0. We define as pH meter a scientific instrument made of a recipient with two electrodes, of which one is merged into a reference buffer solution. The measurement corresponds to the delta V, the difference of voltage, due to the surface contact potentials between the two electrodes and the liquids, the buffer solution and the substance under analysis. The electrodes provide a potential that is constant for the reference solution, while depend on the ion concentration for the analyzed substance. An empirical expression allows to evaluate the ion concentration. With this expression, we know that the voltage is equal to a reference value E0 minus 0.0591, a suitable coefficient, multiplied by the logarithm of the ions concentration, the H ions concentration. The obtained voltage is small, must be amplified. However, it's enough accurate to provide an affordable measurement. During the calibration of the instrument, an acid substance at first and then a basic one can be given to establish the maximum and the minimum response achievable. This can cause a very abrupt variation in the pH factor and therefore in the measurement, with oscillations around the equilibrium state and possible stability problems, like as a high frequency variation would happen. If, however, enough large taps are used, the time necessary for the pH variation will be greater, since it will depend on the H+, the hydrogen ions diffusion, and the stability critical problems could be significantly reduced. The equilibrium reaction will be even slower in this case, with less instability risks. The system is sensible to the temperature, often to make the measurement independent on the temperature, it's associated to a thermocouple or a PTC. The conditioning network is an amplification stage that provides also the necessary decoupling from the remaining part of the circuit, since the electrodes feature high output impedance. This ends the long overview on the transducer. We have seen able to measure typical kinematic magnitudes, temperatures, pressures, flow rates, and even acidity, as we have seen. Now, we will have to deal with a shorter part of the course, into which those electronic circuits that are necessary to connect the output of the transducer to the analog to digital converter will be presented, due to the fact that the signal must be suitably rectified, amplified, transformed, protected from the noise, before sending it to the converter and making it ready to be acquired and processed by the microprocessor. This is the chapter that goes under the name Conditioning Networks. Opening the new group of slides in page 2, we see that it is necessary to manipulate, let's say, the signal as it comes from the transducers, because before the conversion made by the ADC, we could need to perform a charge or current conversion of the signal in voltage, or we have to convert the impedance internal to the transducer variation into a voltage that can be converted by the ADC itself, or we need to amplify the signal to exploit in a suitable way the range of input voltages of the analog to digital converter, or we have to rectify the signal because the transducer has been supplied in AC current, or finally we have to transmit the signal from remote, because the transducer is located not close to the microprocessor that will elaborate it. All these operations require electronic circuits, the so-called conditioning networks, to adapt the signal as it exits from the transducer and to prepare it for the conversion of the ADC. The first one device, the first one network that we considered is the so-called current voltage converter that is suitable for those transducers whose output signal is a current. In this case, to convert the signal as it comes from the transducer, a suitable resistor can be used in reaction with an operational amplifier. The operational amplifier is, as always, employed to decouple the transducer part of the circuit from the conversion and microprocessor part of the circuit. And the resistor R should be used both for converting and for providing to the amplifier an enough big, in terms of amplitude, voltage signal. This, in fact, reduces, minimizes the operational amplifier offset voltage effect. We have to remember, in fact, that for operational amplifiers, the two input pin, minus and plus inputs, are characterized by small voltages that are necessary to maintain the MOS internal devices of which the amplifier consists active. And these voltages are more or less equal to some microvolts. But if the signal provided by the transducer is comparable in terms of amplitude, clearly this effect could significantly reduce the entity of the measurement. For this reason, if we amplify the provided signal from the transducer with a suitable resistor, so as to bring the term given by the multiplication of the current times the resistor in the order of the volts, proportionally the part of this measurement affected by the offset of the operational amplifier will be very, very poorly significant. Another solution to improve the situation, to reduce the effect of such a kind of offset voltages, is to employ operational amplifiers based on MOS technology. However, the amount of the entity of the resistor should be not so high, due to the fact that the operational amplifier is characterized by parasite capacities that are due to its own internal nature, internal architecture. These parasite capacities will be in parallel to the resistor, and if we consider the product RC, we will have that in such a way the circuit will feature a cutoff frequency that will be given by the reverse of the product RC. For example, if we have a capacity equal to 10 power minus 12 farad, a picofarad, I mean, and a resistor equal to 1 mega ohm, we will have a RC product equal to 10 power minus 3 that corresponds to a cutoff frequency in the order of the kilohertz. Of course, I have chosen very, very extreme values for the capacities and the resistor, but if we instead consider, for example, a parasite capacity that is in the order of 100 picofarad and a resistor close to 1 kilo ohm, the correspondent cutoff frequency will be close to 100 kilohertz, and this is a frequency that could correspond to certain physical phenomena that we want to measure. Instead, with such a kind of cutoff, we will lose them. So, it is necessary to convert the current signal into a voltage 1. It is necessary to have enough high resistor value to minimize the effect of the offset. But this value should be not very high, because otherwise we introduce a cutoff frequency in the overall response of this electronic network. A possible solution is to split such a kind of procedure in two steps. First, we perform a very simple, elementary conversion of the current into the voltage with a V voltage converter. And then we amplify the obtained voltage so as it fits well in the range of the analog to digital converter with a suitable amplifier stage made of some resistors in reaction on an operational amplifier. Another electronic circuit that is used for the piezoelectric accelerometer is the so-called charge amplifier. It transforms the charge accumulated in the conductive plug supplied at the two sides of the transducer into a suitable voltage that can be converted and then acquired by the microprocessor. The circuit consists of a capacitor in reaction to an operational amplifier, negative reaction. The capacitor serves as accumulator of charge, and we have already described the characteristics of such a kind of device when we explained the activity of the accelerometer. So we have a voltage in output that is equal to minus the relationship, the ratio, between the charge and the capacity itself. The only issues that it is necessary to take care of are related to the saturation of the capacity, due to the fact that after several measurements, if not discharged, the charge accumulated into the capacity will introduce into the measurement an offset that clearly affects the value acquired by the microprocessor and makes basically the measurement fake. This is obtained by connecting in parallel to the capacitor a suitable switch that is basically a MOS device that is closed at the beginning of the measurement so as to put the two edges of the capacitor in a short circuit, that is basically to discharge it, since one of the edges is connected to the ground because it is connected to the minus input of the operational amplifier. In the figure belonging to the slide number 4, this kind of circuit is shown with the dotted red lines. The frequency response of such a circuit would be a line with a negative slope, like showed in the slide number 4, but considering also the presence of the closing opening switch, red dot line, that corresponds to a very high resistor put in parallel to the capacitor, the transfer function will change into a typical low pass filter response with a cutoff frequency that corresponds to the reverse of the product between the high value of the resistor corresponding to the switch and the capacitor itself. In slide 5, we can see a couple of conditioning networks called impedance converters that are suitable for those transducers into which a resistive, a capacitive, or an inductive parameter is proportional to the physical magnitude that we want to measure. In the upper part of the slide, we see that the impedance Z is in reaction to the operational amplifier, and the output voltage is directly proportional to this value, as the product of the input voltage times the impedance and divided by the resistor. Reaction is negative, so the output voltage is opposed in phase with respect to the input voltage, but clearly this is not a problem. We have seen several transducers that are based on such a kind of idea. For example, those into which Z is a resistor, like for example potentiometers, and in that case the output voltage will be equal to minus E times the resistive value of the transducer divided by the input resistance in the network R. Or, for example, other transducers into which the unknown parameter was an inductance, and in this case we see that there is a phase shift between the output and the input voltages, because the inductance is equal to minus R times the output voltage divided J omega E, the input voltage. Or eventually the unknown parameter, the unknown impedance of the transducer, is a capacitor, and in this case the expression is the same as before, but the roles of the input voltage and the output voltage are exchanged. In other words, we know that if we have a capacity, the output will be shifted in delay with respect to the input voltage, and vice versa if the impedance that we are considering is an inductance. Sometimes it may happen that the parameter that is proportional to the physical magnitude we want to measure is not linear with it. This is the case of the variable reluctance transducer, into which we remember that the reluctance is inversely proportional to the distance we want to measure between the moving foil and the nucleus into which there is the solenoidal circuit that provides to us the output signal. In such a case, it is more convenient to convert the admittance, instead of the impedance, into the output voltage that will be converted by the analog-to-digital converter. In terms of conditioning network, this will require that the admittance is put in the first branch, in the first wire of the conditioning network, instead, as before, putting it in reaction to the operational amplifier. This will give us an output voltage that will be proportional to the admittance of the circuits itself, of the transducer itself, and since the admittance is proportional to the physical magnitude we want to measure, clearly the output of the signal will be linearly related to the physical magnitude into which we are interested. Till now we have considered conditioning networks relative to only one transducer measuring a physical magnitude and providing voltage more or less proportional to the variation of the phenomenon to which we are interested. But there are situations into which a correct measurement, sometimes a reinforced measurement, is provided by a couple of transducers connected so as the physical phenomenon causes a positive variation in one of them and a negative variation in another one. That was the situation we presented explaining the strain gauges, for example. And we said at that epoch that only making the difference between the outputs of the two transducers subject, for example, to a compression and a stretching, we could have obtained a output final signal into which the answer would have been twice corresponding to two times the original solicitation. Another issue that we considered was that some transducers, again, strain gauges are within that ensemble, are sensible to temperature variations. That means that a measurement made in a particular season of the year will give a different response with respect to the measurement of the same phenomenon made into another period of the year. To eliminate that dependence on environmental conditions, we considered to make the difference between two of these transducers, one really subject to the physical phenomenon that we are considering, and the other one simply at rest. In such a way, the sensibility that will characterize both the transducer will be reflected into the output voltages, but making the difference of them, the final output signal will be completely independent on such a parameter. To perform a correct evaluation of a difference, moreover to bring the signal in output referred to a zero level with respect to which variations will be definitively positive or negative, a particular conditioning network can be introduced. Its name is Wheatstone Bridge, and this will be the content of the next lesson.